Welcome to the RuPaul's Drag Race Recap Show for All-Star Season 7, Episode 8, titled Santa's School for Girls. My name is Joe Batanz, and I am joined, as always, by one naughty co-host from Afterthought Media. Please say,
don't fuck with me, fellas!
This ain't my first time at the rodeo. Let's go.
Jay Ellis. Hello, Jay Ellis.
Hi. Hello. Do I have to do a Nathan Brown impersonation?
Yeah.
Somehow I'm going through all the countries in Europe and not landing in Australia at all.
Did you hear last week's episode where Nathan Brown was on with Afterthought Media personality Adam Salandra? And it seemed to get a little hot and heavy in here. I don't know if you saw that.
I didn't see it. I heard it for sure. Mm-hmm. I barely could make out anything in the episode because everything was tingled with, oh, Adam.
I know. Like, stop it. Stop it. You're so bad.
Adam, oh my God, you're so bad.
Oh, I know. And Nathan Brown would be so bummed because you're wearing another one of your patented tank tops.
Signature look.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm out in Palm Springs now. So it's like living on the surface of the sun. So it is too hot to be in real clothes.
And I got to say, I will reiterate. You and I have a friend relationship, so I'm not looking for that stuff. So I don't know if you've stretched and shown your armpits, but if you had, Nathan would be very excited right now. People don't know that.
Yeah, if I was going to be recording with Nathan again, I was just going to do a full yoga set while I was recording.
That's a good question, because you weren't aware you were doing that before and that was arousing him. Was this something now you would refrain from doing if you were on the air with him again?
Oh, no, I think I'd lean in and just see how uncomfortable I can make it.
Oh, yeah. I think he'd start giggling and stuff like that. Yeah. Anyway, if you don't know what the fuck we're talking about, you would if you listened to Just Between Us Girls over at Afterthought Media. You can do that if you join over at the executive tier and above at patreon.com/afterthoughtmedia, where a lot of exciting things are happening over there. Also, that's not the only way you can listen. You could also scroll up and hit the subscribe button on the show page here on Apple Podcasts. Hit subscribe and you will get Just Between Us Girls the same time that the Patreon people get it. Just Between Us Girls. We'll get it right there. Okay. Let me fade out of this. Jay Ellis, let's get right into it. This week, Queens act in the short film Santa School for Girls. And on the runway category is Nitty Nitty Bang Bang. Raja and the Vivian are named the top two all-stars of the week and both receive a legendary legend star before duking it out in a lip-sync battle for their legacies. After all was said and done, Raja was named the winner of the lip-sync and chose to block Jada Essence Hall. Jay Ellis, named two things you liked about the episode and one thing you did not.
Can I do three things? Sure. I liked and one I didn't?
Sure.
Okay. I'm going to break the rules, damn it.
That would be leaning into the rule.
What do you mean?
Because the reason I came up with that rule is in the early days of the show, I felt we were often like, this show sucks. And I think people still think we think that way. So I wanted to always open up with two positive things and only one negative thing. So if you're doing three positive, you're leaning
into
the rule.
Well, listen, on that note, to say positive things about this episode is...
Yeah.
It was a fun episode. So my first note was Janixa Bravo is a gem of a director who we got on the show. I'm so happy to have her presence on Drag Race. She was a delight.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing I liked was that I really love the Queen's repertoire with repartee with Rue. They are not afraid of her. You could tell Raja and her just have a history that goes back and forth when they're on the runway. I loved Monet talking about her braids and saying that she took off the bald cap and was showing her real hair. I just like when the queens almost have a friendship with RuPaul, and it's not a flagship part of the show when they're trying to impress the queen that is RuPaul, and they're just kind of more like kikiing with her in the workroom. And it just brings a fun energy to the show.
Mm-hmm.
I said I wanted to say three things. I couldn't tell you what the third thing was. No, I thought I had it memorized. No, it just came to me and I'm sure it'll come back. I'm going to put a little three on my page and put a little question mark.
Yeah.
I'll get there. Okay. But then the one thing I didn't like was drag is not a contact sport. During this lip sync, I don't like it that Vivian pulled in Raja and licked her armpit without Raja knowing. I feel like it's upsetting to the other performer. And Raja mm-hmm. did a great job at kind of rolling with it. Mm-hmm. But I just don't think that the lip sync, when you're running into desperate moves like that, it kind of turns me on. It spoils my opinion of the performer. I do love the Vivian, but I just didn't love that aspect of the lip sync.
It seems like they've been leaning in on that because Trinity put her nose up, was it Jada's ass last week?
Trinity slid into that butthole.
That might have been she slid too far and she's like, I'll just lean in here, but like, yeah.
Yeah, but also, I mean, you know you're going into the space of the other performer. I mean, and as much as I love Alaska, Alaska's guilty of this too, licking Katya's face and just like involving another participant into your lip sync for the sheer sake of entertainment without them knowing. It's just kind of rough. Sometimes the girls will make eye contact and roll, like look at Raja and Carmen mm-hmm. rolling around with each other and stuff. Like there's a difference for sure. Mm-hmm. But when it's like, I mean, it took Raja, I think by surprise. So I don't know. I just didn't really love that.
All right.
Do you have two things that you liked?
Yeah. One thing you did? Janice of Bravo. What a gem, you know, that I don't want to get, no, I'm just gonna say it right now. I mean, the best directors that have been on the show. Hands down. You know? Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was.
Would
all
you say women. she does a better job than Carson and Michelle at the?
Yeah, she doesn't like. What'd you say about drag you? Yeah, she does better than that. Michelle, who can't land. Michelle, who couldn't land the role that was written for her on the masterpiece AJ and the Queen.
Well, she wasn't directing. I mean, we don't know what she's like behind the camera.
True.
Maybe she directed some AJ and the Queen.
Yeah. Michelle,
did you watch that whole show all the way through?
I watched it all the way through.
Oh, wow.
And it ends on the cliffhanger.
The sandal with the toes hanging over?
Stupid. No, the cops come and take AJ away from RuPaul.
The cops?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I mean, were you waiting on bated breath for the return of the show, or are you going to sleep peacefully without knowing it?
No, I'll be fine. Also, speaking of AJ and the Queen, these queens, because it's all winners, the acting was better than usual. Nothing was better than usual on these things. The thing I didn't like, it's a running theme on this season, horrible song choices.
What did we just do? Oh, I like Super Freak.
No, I like the song. Don't get me wrong. I like the song a lot, actually. I just don't know that it's a RuPaul's Drag Race lip sync song.
I get that. I think that a lot of these songs this season are for RuPaul to lip sync to because they're cutting away a lot to Ru singing along with the song.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that Ru's in charge of the catalog this season was just like, yeah, I like this one. I like this one. I like this one.
Yeah.
Because we haven't had a lot. Usually we lean into like the 80s. There's usually like a bubble of 80s songs in these lip syncs, and we're kind of getting some kind of B-sides, I feel.
Yeah, a lot of B-sides. It's very, very strange. All right. After the lip sync, Jada is lauded for being the first queen with 3 stars. Trinity would have 3 stars, or should have 3 stars, and Jinx hopes to fade into the background. The next day, RuPaul enters the workroom to announce this week's Maxi Challenge. The queens will star in the new hit movie, Santa's School for Girls. As last week's winner, Trinity has earned the right to assign the roles. We're going to stop right here. We might not talk long because not much that happened. But let's stop here and take stock of what's happened so far. What do you think, Jay Ellis?
I just remembered what my third thing was.
Oh, what was it?
I liked when they auditioned for the role. I do love like a on-the-spot audit, like a cold read. It's very fun. That was my third thing. So I want to start with Jada having 3 stars. I think you've said this on the show, since I'm an avid listener, that Jada is coming up. Like, I mean, was not the favorite coming into the competition. I don't think many people had her on the list of who they thought would kind of be doing so good in the competition. And if you look mm-hmm. at her track record, she's always in the top. She's always performing. She's got great looks. She's done great on the acting. She's done great in every challenge. So I'm happy to see her there. But yeah, for her to be in the 3-star club is very exciting. And I think that, I mean, granted, one was given to her, yeah. But you know, that's part of the game. That's part of the competition. We got some Mario Party rules going on here. So I'm happy that she's there.
Well, that's where I was going to go is, don't you think we're going to get to a point where there's going to be some Mario Party action going on, and there's going to be a bunch of stars up for grabs, just to kind of level the playing field and help them shape the story where the producers may want it to go.
I think we're going to have a steal a star moment. I think we're going to have a split between people who have one star. There's a chance to double up stars. They are going to mess with the system as we know it. We've seen a somewhat fair competition. I think I tend to agree with who the winners are. There's some exceptions, but I think that we at AfterBuzz, we used to call it dick in the soup, where the producers get to end up choosing everything that they want to happen. And I do think that we're going to have some shenanigans happening later in the season.
I think the shenanigans happen today. I don't agree with the winners from today.
Yeah, I have an alternate for one of the winners, but I was going to save it.
I have an alternate for both of them.
Okay.
We'll get to when we get to that.
Well, what was some of the other opening remarks on the cold open? We had Jada talking about it. We had Evie walking in with the plunger.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you. I watched this twice. And I was pen in hand, ready to go. And I was like, and I paid attention the entire time. And that was the one thing when I said, there's going to have to be a situation where they have a bunch of stars up for grabs. I mean, right now, is the only note I could think of. A lot of, look, here's the deal. I've said it once, I'll say it again. Just because I don't have a lot of comments doesn't mean it wasn't a good episode. I was entertained. Okay. Mm-hmm. But there is a lot of entertaining fluff here. There's not really much to analyze.
You're saying it exactly. There's not a lot to analyze. I enjoyed the first half of this episode a lot more because it's just the queens in the workroom kicking and working and having fun. And we just get to see them having personality. The challenge for me was kind of a flop. But,
it was. I don't disagree with you.
Yeah. So, but I just enjoyed I love this cast so much that I just like seeing them being in the workroom and talking and doing like them pretending to run from horror villains. Like, I mean, that's the kind of stuff where I think they get to shine and show their personality.
All right. Let's move on. In the workroom, Trinity asks the girls which roles they want and assigns them as follows. The Vivian is headmistress, Nugman Kelly. Shay as Noelle, the new girl. Raja as Scrooge and Jada as Hannah, the mean girls. Evie, Jinx, and Trinity as Mary, Holly, and Joy, the nice girls. Monet as Miss Toe, the art teacher. Vivian plans to go full Joan Crawford. Shay is stuck playing the straight man again. And Trinity apologizes to Jinx for not giving her the role she wanted. Let's stop here and talk about now the workroom part of the whole drama. Let's talk about that casting and whatnot. So what are your big thoughts? So what happens is Trinity gets to choose the roles.
Mm-hmm.
So she turns and she remembers that Viv picked her first last week and that she's going to return the favor. So the Viv gets to choose her role. She chooses to be Nutmeg Kelly or whatever, right? Then she goes down the line and Jinx says she wants the role of Miss Toe. Now, watching it a second time, I'm not even sure that Monet really wanted Miss Toe. I get the impression, I could be misunderstanding the confessional, but that Monet just wanted to stop Jinx from getting the role that she wanted.
I could see that as a strategy.
Yeah, she says it in a confessional. You know, or maybe they did want the role, but Monet wasn't going to let her have it. It could be that, and that makes more sense. Like, they both wanted the same role, but Monet was not going to let her have it outright, even though she didn't care that much, because Jinx, she didn't want to give Jinx an opportunity to shine. And then that's why Trinity blames the Alliance for why she didn't give the role to Jinx, but I actually think that was a strategy. Why would you give Jinx the role that she wants? But Jay, what do you think here?
Well, also, Miss Toe is a character right up Jinx's alley. Like, to play a kind of, I don't know, like, hippie elder. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It just seems like something that Jinx would have killed. Yeah. So I could see the strategy behind it, them saying, like, well, she's not blocked this week, so we need to find a way to block her, essentially, in a different way. Because, say what you will, but Jinx is going to kill the acting challenge majority of the time.
Yes.
So there is a strategy to it, and I think that even after the audition, I mean, I don't know if it was edited really weird, but Raja goes, oh, this is Jinx for sure.
Yes.
And you're like, okay. But then, and then Trinity goes, Monet, you're her.
Yeah.
And you're like, wait, what? Because if they're really trying to put out a really good product, Jinx should have had the role. But I think I truly believe what you're saying. I kind of believe this conspiracy that they're just trying to block Jinx and helping not get her a star.
But why not be honest about it? Why not say, look, Jinx, I'm not going to give you the role that you want because you're so good. You'll just win.
Well, look at this fan base. I mean, you say one wrong thing on TV and you're the villain.
But what Trinity is doing is worse. She's saying that she's only not giving it to her because of the alliance.
Yeah, I mean, that's bad too. I don't know. Jinx isn't the type who I think would really hold, like an opinion of the other queens to just be like a sourpuss about like not getting the role. So I don't think that they're going to hurt her feelings, but yeah, I that could have been upfront.
But here's the deal. And this is, it's weird how we all have these stories that repeat and repeat and repeat themselves. Okay. And in this case, once again, I mean, it's very surface level, but we're seeing again a conspiracy to stop Jinx among the popular girls. It's not as overt as Relaska Talks, but it's there again. Like, we need to stop Jinx. And it's, I mean, I can see because she's a threat, but it comes off. It's not like Relaska Talks because it's not coming off like bullying at all.
Yeah.
But this does seem to be a repeated, another, a pattern in Jinx's life. And I'm very curious to know why that is. Any other thoughts on the workroom?
I think I'm good.
You know, I also, one thing I didn't mention is such a short comment. I love Raja's work, like when she enters for the day looks, the next day looks.
She had a great, yeah, actually a lot of them had really fun outfits and they were in like a black and white theme. That was cool. Yeah, they all, Raja is really bringing just fashion into the whole franchise.
Yeah. All right. It's time for the Maxi Challenge recording. The queens are joined by Rue and Janixa Bravo for the Maxi Challenge recording. Viv breaks from Rue's laughing. The nice girls are coached to be more unified in their movements. Monet changes up her voice, and Janixa reminds the girls to hit the jokes. It's runway day, and the girls are preparing their looks. Jinx remains a target. Meanwhile, neither Raja nor Jada have been blocked. Viv and Jada reenact Mommy Dearest, and the girls do their best impressions of slasher film tropes. Let's talk about everything that happened there, Jay Ellis.
I'm going to go a little out of order. So I do want to talk about Jada making her point about how, why block her at this point? Like, she's pretty much count her in for the finale is what she's arguing. Mm-hmm. And I would make that same argument for Jinx. Like, look, guys, it's probably going to happen at some point that Jinx is in the finale. Just accept it. And then y'all should just be fighting for that, those other two spots. In my head, that's kind of what makes sense, is I think that there is some front runners that we're going to see. But Jada makes a good point. Why waste? Not waste, but are you really going to earn 4 stars at this point in a row, like 3 weeks in a row, to get back up to meet Jada at that spot? So I do understand her strategy in saying, leave me out of this. Just, you know, go for the people who have 1 star and really just try to keep them at the bottom.
I think it's a good rhetorical point, but you still want to block the bitch.
You do. Well, yes, you want to prove her wrong and say, look, you're not immunity. Like, you're not immunity. You're not immune to this.
Well, not only that, but, you know, assuming that they're playing the game, what I mean is that, like, assuming that they have the same information that we have, we only think about this show one day a week for a few minutes. They're constantly thinking about it. So maybe perhaps they're prepared for this Starapalooza that may or may not come.
Yeah.
And again, you'd want to prevent her from getting any extra stars, and she seems to be on the rise.
I am going to contradict myself right now also, because they don't know if another 2-star day is coming up, or, you know, they don't know what the tides can turn. So I guess if they really are afraid of Jada, who has been kind of like Trinity, I think, excelling at every challenge, there's not been a weak spot for them. Mm-hmm. So I think that, yeah, I'm doing a full 180 here. I do see the value in blocking her too, even though she did put up a good argument. And I still love this thing that Raja thinks that there's still power to the plunger, that this bit is going on from week 2.
I guess they do a good... Don't you think she really believes it?
She kind of seems like it. I mean, you know, like, I could see them not telling her, and maybe she still believes it.
Yeah. All right, well, I don't know. Maybe she does. I mean, I could see that. I mean, the show does do crazy shit.
Exactly that. They haven't had these rules before. So imagine it's like All-Stars 2 when we saw the face crack of, you know, the mirror reveal and stuff. So they just don't know what's coming this season. So I believe that she could be still kind of in the dark about it. But can we talk a little bit about the direction that we got from Janixa?
Sure.
Such a pleasure to have somebody who can just kind of give direction and elevate a scene. I mean, the writing on all of these challenges are just... Breast world.
Atrocious. It's atrocious.
90210. Yeah, it's just, we're getting not Emmy, you know, winning performances. But what she's able to bring is, I think she understands comedy and timing and characters, and she was mm-hmm. able to display her knowledge and how to talk to these actors individually to get them to a better performance than what they brought initially. Mm-hmm. I think she had adjustments for almost everybody, and I do think that it heightened this. Again, I'm talking about this like it's Breaking Bad, but I think she was able to heighten the scenes overall. And you talked a little bit about her. What did you think about her?
I thought it was great. I mean, she directed it like it was she approached it the way a director really would approach it. She got the girls to give a little bit more, and she knew exactly what she wanted and how to articulate it. And it wasn't just like, do more, you know, like weird ass, very general, poor directing things at Michelle. The thing is, too, is like, someone out there might be like, oh, well, they're just being silly. Maybe Carson. I think I get the sense, just me reading into things, that Michelle really sees herself as a genuine, like, director.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, like,
Like, she takes it very seriously, and then she's really teaching these girls something. And I'm like,
When really, I do think Michelle excels in the recording yes. sessions, where I think that's her world. She understands that world. So there is a value in that, too.
Yeah.
I just had a note about something that if I could structure this challenge differently, I wish I could do this. I wish that they split the girls into two teams of four and had a, whatever the thing was called. It's based on Black Christmas, right? Isn't it kind of like Black Christmas meets Mean Girls meets, I don't know, whatever.
Well, in Black Christmas, it wasn't a Santa Claus, but yes.
But like the head, but it felt like elements of Suspiria.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And there's a sorority in Black Christmas. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So I feel like they were kind of pulling from a couple different things. I kind of wish that almost like in season 6, where we had the horror challenge with the acting, that we had two separate teams, because some roles could be lifted from the script with no repercussions. Like, you could get rid of Jada in here 100%. You wouldn't miss her. And that's the same as for Evie, Jinx, and Trinity could have been combined into one character. So it was really hard to balance all of these characters. I think if we split this into two sections or two different teams, each person would have been highlighted a little bit better. And I kind of wish that we had gone that direction.
Well, what's funny too is, if you remember, there's a teacher we never see that's killed. And the sketch was so long.
Yeah.
That you were like, well, why didn't you just have that as be another character? You know, which would make a little bit more. I mean, this sketch is way too long. I mean, I don't know why I'm asking the length of it. Makes no sense. I'm making no sense. Mommy Dearest. Did you catch all the Mommy Dearest quote? I mean, some very obvious ones, but even like, Viv pulls out some looks and whatnot, like just the way she moves, she does a look that are very Mommy Dearest.
I feel like even if you haven't seen the movie Mommy Dearest, if you've watched Drag Race for the past 5 years, they put the same references in every single time. So you're going to know it just by osmosis. Like, you know, get the axe in, or bring me the axe, Christine. Like, there's so many things that are just there constantly that Rue loves these same jokes. I don't know.
Yeah. For those of you who've never seen Mommy Dearest, that's actually what's making Rue laugh. Remember when Viv is making her laugh, is because they don't really shout it out, but it's a take on Mommy Dearest, because there's a part of Mommy Dearest where she says, "Oh, but she's Barbara, please."
Yeah, yeah. That's what Rue is responding to. So, and I know that the overall point of this show is to make RuPaul Charles laugh. So I think that it succeeds there, but I think that the writing suffers at the hand of that, because they're constantly just trying to shoehorn in references that don't really serve the story.
there's an ADR of RuPaul plugging basically Paramount Plus. You don't see anybody saying it. So they show feet or something like that walking. And then she's like, yeah, we got Paramount Plus needs to get on this stuff, shit, or something like that. I don't know what she says, but like, I'm like, okay, come on.
I didn't catch that at all.
Oh yeah. I caught it. I was like, okay. She mentioned Paramount Plus. Yes. Anything else?
I felt really bad for Shay, because to play that now, and this shows you the power of editing, because they're not giving these contestants critiques like a normal season. Shay would have been red for not doing a single thing if this was a normal season, but because they're only piling on praise, how unfortunate that she was just the straight character to kind of bounce the jokes off of. what a boring person to play sometimes. I feel like that's my role on the T, but I did would
she,
say.
No, it's not. Did she choose that character though? We didn't really see that.
She did. And I think that it was at this point, you're like, well, I'm trying to think back into Shay's catalog of characters that she's done. And I know that she did great as Black Chyna. In 90210, she was the older person. So I know that she can do characters. Mm-hmm. But to play just kind of the straight up, straight laced newbie, like ingenue, I guess. I don't know. It just felt like it was kind of a bummer of a character. Like she had no jokes.
Yeah. But I think that's just Shay. I don't think Shay really, I think Shay feels comfortable in that. I don't know. I didn't think Shay was bad though.
I don't think she was bad. She was doing the character. I just felt like she didn't have a single moment. Like if you think back of the whole piece, there's mm-hmm. not a single thing that you could point to that was funny for Shay. And I think Shay can deliver jokes.
Yeah. Oops. I just dropped my pen. Any other thoughts on this whole, anything on the runway day?
Well, I think that I kind of combined that in with Raja talking about the plunger. We haven't had mirror moments. Have you noticed that we haven't had like trauma from people? And I don't miss it.
Yeah, no, it needs to be, everything can be light, everything can be fun, everything can be funny, which is fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, I will say a la All Stars 1, Episode 1, the cuts that they made and the edits during the conversation about blocking people, was really, if you actually go back and look at it, pay attention, they make no sense.
Can you give me an example?
I have to play it. I mean, there's a semblance of making no sense. If you actually go like, no one's making any sense, they're just making comments. They sound like they make sense, but I don't know where this thread is. They're clearly just clips of, I think it's the same conversation. I get the sense that perhaps they were having an actual candid conversation about it, and maybe elements the editors didn't want in there. Not necessarily were secrets or anything like that. Maybe you mentioned mm-hmm. I was talking to producer Becky or something like that, and she said that they had to cut it out, and it seems really choppy. It's really, and I think they were just working with what they had.
Okay.
They wanted to include it. All right, Jay, why don't we do this? Why don't we take a break? And when we come back, we are going to talk about the rest of the episode. Yeah, we are back, Jay. Back to talk now. We are ready. Entertaining episode, but not much to it. Let's talk about the looks. Immediately, we're going to get into the looks. Category is Nitty Nitty Bang Bang.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was like, where's my list of girls?
And I liked this runway theme. I think it was really creative, and a lot of the queens got to showcase their style with like a, what's the word? Like with boundaries, like how they would do knit, which was really fun to see.
Yeah. And I have my list here. Let's see how well you performed with your judging, so to speak.
Okay.
We're just going to do Tudor Boot. Okay. Tudor Boot.
Okay.
All right. First one down the line we have is Viv. What are your thoughts here on Viv?
Viv had a long white knitted dress that was very pretty and had the knitting needles in her hair. This was a toot for me. I loved it.
Correct. It was a toot. What plus one for Jay, even though you're competing against no one. Yourself is like golf. You're just competing against
My inner saboteur is my competition.
Next, we have Shay.
Shay, I don't even know how to describe. There's a lot of elements going on here. It's, I don't know if that's flannel, but like a flannel piece over her with a ball on her head with necklaces, a neck stretcher, bald cap. I liked it a lot. There was a lot of elements to it. This was a toot for me.
Correct. It was a toot. Plus two for Jay.
Yay.
Evie Oddly is next down the runway. We got here for Evie Oddly.
This was an open gown, I guess. It had like a cape type thing. It was yellow and orange, kind of looked like feathers, but it was all knit, and then a headpiece and really cool makeup. I don't know if I would like this on anybody but Evie, so I think that's a compliment. I think for Evie, like this on Evie, it was a toot for me.
That's a very good point. I didn't think about that. I was like, I really like this, but I don't know why. I will say she looked really fucking sexy with, I don't know why, like, a bare-chested man doesn't do it for me, but for some reason, It was something about the way she was wearing that. I was like, that's really, really sexy.
Sex symbol.
Thank you. Yeah. All right, next we have Jinx Monsoon coming down the runway. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is kind of what I'm saying is I think Jinx took this challenge and made the dress her own. She has a gold knit dress with a boa kind of, or I don't know what, like a pashmina? I don't really know what the word would be. It's very Jinx. I think this is a Jinx dress. And this was a toot for me as well. It's very clean and polished. I liked it.
All right, very good. The answer is... All right, so far, +4. We've matched completely. Now that's we have Trinity the Tuck. What do we have here?
So Trinity was in a, I think it was like a leopard print, maybe like, I don't know, jumpsuit that was covered in a purple drapey blanket snuggy situation with a some kind of animal attached to her. I don't know what it was. I liked the wig concept a lot. I don't know if it was executed correctly for me, and I don't think this is the best I've seen Trinity. So this one was a boot, but a soft boot. She still looks great, but it wasn't my favorite boot.
It was a boot for me as well. Wow, very, very good. We're matching. Next, we have Monet Exchange. What do you have there for Monet Exchange, Jay?
This was my favorite. When I think of Monet, fashion isn't like my first thought for her. And I think that she's come so far in this runway. I want that puffer jacket that she had. It was like a matching bottom and puffer jacket with the big bow. I think it was like a houndstooth. She looked so fantastic. I thought everything was right for this. So Monet is my shoot for the day. Oh no, we were doing so well.
I didn't like his outfit. Yeah. All right, Jada Essence Hall.
Okay, so Jada made a comparison to, is it called the Big Comfy Couch or something? I forget what
I don't know what that is, though.
So I had to look it up because when I saw the main character that she was referencing, it totally makes sense. And I know I've seen that character before. I have not seen the show. I think it was after my time. I liked this look for Jada, though. I thought the hair was perfect. The like kind of space buns into like an afro puff with the knitting needles in the shoulder, like a long white trailing, again, a pashmina. I think I'm saying that wrong, but I like this overall for Jada. I thought that the red nose, too, it kind of made her look like a Who from Dr. Seuss. I don't know. Overall, I was into this. I liked it. It was a toot.
Correct. It was a toot. Very good, JLs. Finally, we have Raja Gemini, I think is her actual name. She goes by Raja now, right? Not Raja Gemini anymore.
I'm not sure. This felt like very... So Raja is in an all-gold ensemble. It kind of feels like she could be from Mass Effect, if anybody knows that game franchise. I like this. I did not get knit from it, but I think it was like a chainmail mesh thing that I appreciate what she did. She took the challenge and made it her own and made it fashion. The only thing I don't love is the face thing, but I don't know. I like everything else about it. And she could have fit right in on All Stars 2 when they did the Future of Drag. I think this is really cool. So overall, I'm going to give it a 2. I think Raja's always great. Oh, yay. Okay, cool.
Yeah, so you only got one wrong. That'd be 90% if you're taking a test.
Perfect. Well, there we go.
Not perfect. 90%. All right, and those are the looks. All right, let's move.
The lurks.
The lurks. All right. Oh no! Now we gotta talk. Like now we're on the main stage. Blah blah blah. Santa's School for Girls. It's time for the premiere of Santa's School for Girls. What were your thoughts here? Let's talk about the sketch here. The final product. We get to see it.
I just have some standouts that I think I can mention. So I do think that the Vivian really leaned into this character and was having fun with it. I think that she. We see this with some like SNL performers where they find a voice or a mannerism that works and they'll apply it to other characters. Just. You know, you see like the same cadence in their voice and whatever. So I think that she used this a little bit from her Trump and from her Snatch game. Like I think she has jokes or punchlines that kind of work for her. So I think she leaned on that. Mm-hmm. But I think that she took the lead character and did a great job with it overall. I think she did great with that role. And Monet Exchange, I thought was going to be named the winner alongside the Viv because that character just had more to do. And I think that they were going to congratulate Monet for having taken on the role, and that look was really what I think what they were trying to go for is like the hippie art school teacher, and I think Monet did a good job with that. This is maybe controversial. This is the first time that Jinx's acting did not do it for me. I didn't really like her character, and it came off a little too try hard. I don't know. I feel bad saying it because Jinx is one of my front runners, and mm-hmm. I just didn't click. I didn't connect with Jinx in this sketch.
I thought Jinx was hilarious.
Oh, interesting.
I thought she and Trinity were so funny. They were able to take these really tiny roles and make them standouts. They're the only two people I really remember. Monet was fine. To be honest with you, everybody was fine. Nobody was really bad.
Okay? Yeah.
Evie was good. I don't think Evie gets enough credit for her acting sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I actually was not as thrilled by the Viv and not as thrilled by Roger. Roger. Yeah.
Well, you said at the top of the show that you'd have two alternates. So did you have two people that you would have
Trinity
rather
seen? And Jinx.
Okay.
Because A, not only were they good, but they had really tiny roles and they made them important, big, good roles. Now I have other little qualms. The script is terrible. Why would the Santa Claus killer kill?
Don't you dare look for logic in Santa's little girl school.
Why would she kill Jinx's character? Wouldn't you kill? Wouldn't you kill?
Joe, I didn't follow this storyline. This is more confusing than the end of Blair Witch. I don't know what was going on.
Why didn't? Wouldn't you kill the Raja's character, who clearly doesn't believe in Christmas? Or kill Shay's character. Shay's character says right out front she doesn't believe in Christmas. And then Jada's character says she doesn't think Santa Claus is real.
Okay. I don't know. I only can go back to the acting. I thought that here's the difference. I think that Viv and Jinx were doing camp. If everybody was escalated to that level, I think they would have been great. I think that everybody was on a different challenge. Like, we didn't have much from Jada. I agree with you about Raja. I think that her character was fine. I think she was kind of serving Nancy from The Craft, if you know Fairuza Balk in that mm-hmm. 90s movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think she was trying to give that, and I think that there was aspects of it that were fun. I liked the look and everything, but I don't know. It's like what I said in the middle of the ep. Like, it's hard to have so many characters in this sketch because mm-hmm. it's not balanced, right? We don't have enough to base off. I wish Trinity was given more lines so we could have seen her play dumb more. I just don't think that she had enough to warrant a win.
Yeah. I don't think either one of them had enough to warrant a win, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
Viv had the biggest role and she didn't fuck it up.
And so did Monet. That's what I'm saying, is I think that they tend to award, I mean, with the exception of Darian Lake, where she had a line, mm-hmm. but I think that they tend to just reward people who have a lot of lines and can keep consistent, you know, energy up. So, I mean, I don't think Shay had a shot to win this one. I don't think that Jada had a shot just based on the roles that they picked.
I'm going to tell you right now, this is way too long. These sketches should never be more than 3 minutes. How long did this clock in at? Oh, I wish I could look.
Oh, I would think it was probably about 10 minutes.
Oh, really?
If I had to guess.
Let me look. I'm going to look. I'll go to Paramount Plus and let's see here. Let's go to this.
They have to learn from, this is the SNL problem too, where some, and I mean, I've written sketches where it's hard to find an end point, but man, this could have been broken up into three acts. It was so long.
Yeah, it really, they should have even had a commercial break in there, you know?
Okay. I'm glad they didn't, but yeah, I'm going to call 10 minutes.
Okay, let me go back. Let me go to 33 here. Oh no, it's longer than 10. Hold on.
Oh boy.
It looks like it might be. No, it's just at 10 minutes. You're right. It's just at 10 minutes.
But the difference is I felt the time. Like, there is just, it's a long 10, because I think that the Snatch Game this season clocked in at around 20 minutes. And that was a breeze.
Mm-hmm.
This one, I was just like, where are the jokes?
It looks like it might be 11 minutes.
Okay. Do you think that this, now I know that we would have lost our director, but do you think that this would have improved if the girls were allowed to improv? Like a Curb Your Enthusiasm style, here's the basic thing of the scene, now improv around it?
Yeah, I don't know why they don't let the girls do that. I think it would be better, yes. Because they'd probably get in and out faster. This guy, I know there's a guy, he's like one of the head writers, or if not the head writer at RuPaul's Drag Race. And he loves to write these things, and that's his thing. It's his baby, is writing these things. And I think because he is the boss, there's no editing of these. He'll write an 11-minute sketch, and all jokes are in, and all stupid puns and everything like that. And he just thinks they're so funny. Maybe perhaps they get in and out of the scenes faster.
Do you know if he is union?
I don't know what his story is.
Yeah, I'm curious about this, if they're running non-union or if they're SAG, because I'm wondering if they could actually bring in a team of writers to... This show has gotten bigger now that I think that they need to expand their roster of who they're including in with the crew, just to kind of freshen up the takes and the references and the, you know, the challenges.
Jay, I don't think you're wrong, but do you realize who the production company of the show is?
Do I even watch the show, Tamar?
I know, like World of Wonder. They're fucking so cheap. It's not even funny.
They spend a penny and they get back $100. Yeah, I know. But that's what I'm saying is like they have the money to put towards the stuff that I wish that we would see the money. You know, I'm happy that we have great Rue gowns and looks and makeup and wigs and stuff, but I would love to see the production of the sketches particularly go up. I think it'd be really fun to see a well-written sketch.
Yeah. Any other thoughts on this, on the Santa School for Girls?
I do want to agree with you. I think that Evie went unnoticed, unrecognized for her work. She did a good job acting, and this is... You know, it was a good showing for her. But other than that, I think I said what I needed to say.
All right. On the main stage, RuPaul names Raja and the Vivian the top two all-stars of the week and gives both a legendary legend star before making them battle it out in lip sync battle for their, I don't know this what's going on here. The song Super Freak by Rick James. After the lip sync, Raja is named the winner and uses the platinum plunger to block Jada Essence Hall. Jay Ellis, any final thoughts on the episode? Any thoughts on the lip sync? Any thoughts on the song? All final thoughts, including the lip sync.
A little peek into my childhood. I got a CD from my aunt, which we were talking about on The Tea, another podcast. If you're a Patreon listener, you know, where I got an album called Totally the 80s. And Super Freak was on it right after a song called Let's Hear It for the Boy by Denise something. And I used to love Let's Hear It for the Boy so much that because Super Freak was the song that followed up right after, I know every word to Super Freak. I loved Super Freak by the end of the end of my 10-year-old life. I don't know. I love this song. I don't know how we get around this problem, but I'm so sick of seeing air instruments on the main stage during a lip sync. Nobody's going to do it right. And it doesn't work for me. I wish that they would cut that for the bridge. I wish that they would just sub it out for something. I haven't seen it successfully done in a very long time. I think there's got to be a way to get rid of those solos that we
have. Which is funny because they chopped the fuck out of the song. I mean, the song is so chopped up. They can't even hide it.
Yeah. As far as I think, and you know, Raja winning, I agree with that. I think that Vivian was kind of throwing stunts into the air, and that's always kind of the act of desperation. I thought Raja did minimal. Raja is 80s. I think that Raja is going to dominate an 80s song, so I was happy that she took the win. So overall, I like the song. The performances were pretty good. I don't know if I'll go back. I always judge it if I'll go back to watch the lip sync in this one. I haven't yet, but who knows? Maybe in the future I'll want to see, you know, Raja performing again. And I like the glee that was in her face when she was announced the winner. I'm just happy to see Raja back on my screen.
Yeah. Any other final thoughts?
I think that my notes, which is like 10 little dots. I think that's all my thoughts. Did you have any on the lip sync or anything?
No, it's not a good lip sync. I don't like it. I like the song. I don't like the lip sync. But I'm not blaming them. Well, Roger's not known as a lip syncer. But it's weird song choices. Like, how are you in drag and lip sync into that song? I don't know. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this week's episode of RuPaul's Drag Race Recap. Be sure to join us next week and every week as we continue to discuss, dissect, and deconstruct each brand new episode of RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars Season 7. So for Jay Ellis and myself,
sashay away. Until next week.
Thank you for listening to RuPaul's Drag Race Recap. Have something to say? Leave us a voicemail at speakpipe.com/afterthoughtmedia or email us at dragracerecap@afterthought.media. For more Drag Race and LGBTQ content, support us on Patreon at patreon.com/afterthoughtmedia. This episode was produced by Luke Stamen and Zach Birch. Nathan Brown has two other podcasts. The first is Breaking Down Bad Books and the other is called Bravo Bravo Effing Bravo. You can find those podcasts wherever you get your podcasts. You can also find Nathan on Instagram at NathanBrown90. Finally, follow Joe Bettens on Instagram at Joe Bettens. Special thanks to our expensive tier Patreon supporters. Agnes Yeshopinska, Alex S., April Pacheco, Obtusky, Brad Coley, Karina Williamson, Dave O., Deck Head, Elizabeth Timmer, Emma E. Smith, Boastful Cake, J. Thomas Plank, Jesse Harris, Anonymous, Lauren Eckert, Doofus Maximus, Lucy Carrasco, Luke Stammen, Mercedes Mueller, Nicholas Springham, Nikki Baker, Poppy Woods, Ricardo Herrera, Robert NYC, Sarah Yu, Tom Bombs, Travis Newland, Troy Anderson, Zach Nelson. Drag Race Recap is an Afterthought Media podcast.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.